Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We're live, and you can start calling with your questions. We got lots to talk about this hour. We're going to talk a little bit about the advent of the Franken-apple. It's a GMO apple that is designed to avoid browning. I mean, I didn't really think that one of the major pressing world issues is that we have apples that if you leave them out on the counter too long, they turn a little brown. But according to agricultural scientists, this is one of the biggest threats to the welfare of mankind. So they've developed a GMO apple to address it. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. 888-302-3684. Before we get your phone calls, though, this week was kind of momentous on the food scene because it marks the release of the DGA, the Dietary Guidelines for America. And this is actually an issue that we've been on top of because we knew that they were revising the dietary guidelines. And so a few months back, we did a podcast on that subject. And there is an effort underway to influence the Department of Health and Human Services and Department of Agriculture, which are responsible for the guidelines, to get rid of the outmoded suggestions in previous guidelines. And here's what, this is actually a petition that was sent to Secretary Burwell and Secretary Vilsack of HHS and the Department of Agriculture. The objections to the DGA, the Dietary Guidelines of America, are that, A, they have contributed to the increase, not the decrease, the increase of chronic diseases. They have not provided guidance compatible with adequate essential nutrition. They represent a narrow approach to food nutrition, inconsistent with the nation's diverse cultures, ethnicities, and socioeconomic classes. They're based on weak and inconclusive scientific data, and they've expanded their purpose to issues outside their original mandate. Now, that last line, what does that mean? They've expanded their purpose to issues outside their original mandate. Well, we saw a little bit about what they mean, because this week they released a 571-page report of recommendations which are intended to, quote, transform the food system. And part of the concerns expressed are that we need to avoid eating so much animal protein because it's bad for the environment. Now, that is interesting because I thought these were dietary guidelines that were consistent with human health. And they, you know, look, you could be concerned about the environment. And the way that we produce meat in this country is decidedly bad for the environment. Big agricultural farms that empty their sewage into rivers and are responsible for the plume of horrible junk that extends well beyond the mouth of the Mississippi River, deep into the Gulf of Mexico. That's the result of our current agricultural practices. But should it determine whether Americans should, quote, adopt a plant-based diet? It's also very, very much tied into the global warming hypothesis or climate change hypothesis, depending on your semantics. And so we should eat lower in the food chain to what? Reduce the emissions of methane from cows? Flatulence, is that what that is designed to do? And the bias in the past has been against cholesterol. Well, they had to admit, finally, in this draft of the dietary guidelines, that no longer do they recommend that Americans follow a low cholesterol diet. Well, wow, talk about undermining trust in government. No wonder we have trouble getting people to take vaccines in America. The dietary guidelines that we've given to Americans, it turns out that it was a phony, misguided message. So how are you going to have trust and reliance on health messaging from the government? Take the flu shot. How about that one?
flu shot with 14% efficacy this year. How could they possibly design a flu shot that has less effectiveness than a placebo? Even a placebo flu shot. You know, I took a flu shot. You know, I am mentally convinced that I'm invulnerable to the flu. There might be a 30% placebo effect. Well, no. The efficacy of the flu shot was about 14% in terms of protecting Americans from this week's flu, this year's flu variant. So the new guidelines prompted an editorial, actually an op-ed piece, in the New York Times this week by someone we've interviewed on our Intelligent Medicine podcast, our weekday podcasts. We put them up at drhoffman.com. You can't hear them on the radio, but you can download them via iTunes or just direct your computer from drhoffman.com. We talked to Nina Teichholz, who is the author of this op-ed piece in yesterday's New York Times. The government's bad diet advice. For two generations, Americans ate fewer eggs and other animal products because policymakers told them that fat and cholesterol were bad for their health. Now both dogmas have been debunked in quick succession. How did experts get it so wrong? She writes, certainly the food industry has muddied the waters through its lobbying, but the primary problem is that nutrition policy has long relied on a very weak kind of science. And at best, these epidemiological studies can only show an association, not causation. You can say, well, look, hey, in China, when they used to eat a vegetarian diet, they had much less cancer and heart disease. But hey, that was 50 years ago when they were poorer, they worked much harder, they ate less, they were less sedentary, they were less obese, and there was a heck of a lot less environmental pollution 50, 60 years ago in China. So they could say, well, okay, now with the advent of meat in China, people are getting cancer and heart disease. Well, a lot has changed in China, not just the availability of animal protein. So that's the problem with epidemiological research that we've used to shape our nutrition policy. Back to this op-ed from Nina Teichholz in the Times. Uncertain science should no longer guide our nutrition policy. Indeed, cutting fat and cholesterol, as Americans have conscientiously done, may have even worsened our health. In clearing our plates of meat, eggs, and cheese, we ate more grains, pasta, and starchy vegetables. Those are carbohydrates. Over the past 50 years, we cut fat intake by 25%. Did you know that? Over the past 50 years, we cut fat intake in America by 25%, but we correspondingly increased carbohydrates by more than 30%, according to new government data. And recent science has increasingly shown that a high-carb diet rich in sugar and refined grains increases the risk of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease, much more so than a diet high in fat and cholesterol. So it's a big I told you so from Nina Teichholz, and she's the author of a great book. You ought to read it, The Big Fat Surprise. And we reviewed that book and had a conversation with her at drhoffman.com. We've got a new landing page for a podcast. You can look up that podcast, find it, listen to it. She makes a lot of sense. Read the book if you like. 888-302-3684. Let's talk to Anne in Staten Island. How you doing, Anne?
I'm doing good, Dr. Hoffman.
Yep.
I have a question about melatonin. Mm-hmm. I take it every night before I go to sleep.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if it's detrimental to my health, because I heard that there's a possible link between sleeping aids, you know, and dementia and Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Anything? Well, yeah, you know, you nail it, but that does not apply to melatonin. Melatonin is actually something that has additional health benefits rather than health consequences. If you take, quote, the sleep aids that they're concerned with, there are really two basic types. There's the, you know, the tranquilizer type medications, you know, Ambien and various other types of sleep meds that are popular. They will definitely increase your risk for dementia because they have a brain dulling effect. And in addition, they make especially older, more frail patients groggy, more likely to fall down and have a hip fracture. So those are dangerous long term. And then they've now just discovered that the over-the-counter kind, you know, the Tylenol PM and Excedrin PM variety,
Most of the over-counter sleep remedies contain antihistamines. And now it's been shown that the antihistamines can erode memory and ultimately have can hasten the onset of dementia. So that was recently came out. So those are the ones that they're talking about. Melatonin, the opposite. Melatonin can help sleep. It does, look, it doesn't invariably help sleep. Some people have such profound sleep problems that melatonin can barely touch it. But for our cancer patients, we give them melatonin deliberately to prevent cancer. It's especially effective for prostate cancer, breast cancer, reproductive cancers. And there may be other additional health benefits to melatonin. How much do you take at bedtime?
I was taking 3, and now...
That's a standard dose, yeah, 3 milligrams.
Now they sell it in 5. And I did have breast cancer in the past.
And that you could even take more. For my previous patients with a previous history of breast cancer, we use a higher dose, 20 milligrams. Now, you're going to think, oh, my goodness, I'll never wake up in the morning. But melatonin usually does not make patients groggy beyond a certain dose. It either works or doesn't work to help you sleep, and then you take additional amounts. It's unlike, you know, God forbid if you took, 6 Ambien. You know, you'd never wake up. You know, you might you might become comatose. But with melatonin, the excess melatonin does not make you more sedated usually. And it may take those higher doses to have the anti-cancer benefits. You know, 1 or 3 may not be as effective with cancer prevention as 20 milligrams at bedtime. So you could try that. And, you know, some people have adverse reactions to melatonin. They might have nightmares or they might feel groggy. Some people have sensitivity to it. But mostly, it's a mildly effective sleep remedy, and it can help. All right? 888-302-3684. We're taking your phone calls on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide proper intestinal balance, which goes way beyond optimizing digestion. It has a profound impact on virtually every system of the body. I'm an early adopter of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. I personally take them every day, and I've been recommending them to my patients for over 10 years. I've long extolled the benefits of probiotics. A frequent focus of my health programs and wellness articles is the importance of the gut to overall health. I believe in Dr. O'Hara's because they combine a wide spectrum of beneficial bacteria with prebiotics that help the good bacteria establish a foothold in your GI tract. They're easy to take, well-tolerated, and convenient. They don't need refrigeration. Dr. O'Hara takes the centuries-long Japanese tradition of creating expert probiotic foods to the next level. They're the next generation of probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. And coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about that GMO non-browning apple. Is this really something important that we needed to use advanced agribusiness technology to achieve? But first, let's talk to Adrienne. Welcome.
Dr. Hoffman, I had a question about...
Adrienne, are you still hanging out with Rocky? I'm just kidding. That must be the first time you've ever heard that, somebody say that.
No, maybe the 10,000 millionth time. I had a question about DGL. I've read that licorice root can sometimes interfere with thyroid hormone
yeah.
and can sometimes be estrogenic. And
yeah.
I'm wondering if the same caution holds true for DGL.
Okay, it's a good question. And, you know, liquor is a really interesting plant because it's got a variety of properties. And if you take pure licorice straight, what it will do is it'll actually support your adrenals. It'll help build up cortisol. That's good for some people, but not good for others because excess cortisol can cause water retention and it can cause weight gain. It can suppress testosterone in men, so too much just plain old licorice could be bad. It can cause sodium retention, and it can actually cause dangerously low potassium. So licorice is a very useful herb and can help with a lot of conditions. It's anti-inflammatory, and so that's good. Fortunately, you can separate out the, quote, bad part of licorice. I mean, you don't always want to do that. Certain licorice formulas, you want that part in there to help support the adrenals. But if you want just the anti-inflammatory properties, you can deglycerizinate it. That's what DGL is. That's why I get to do this show, because I can pronounce deglycerizination. You know, after I said that, I did the audition for the show. They said, you're in. So DGL is the type that you want to use when you don't want to get those other effects. There actually may be some conditions where you want that estrogenic effect. Say, you know, a woman going through menopause, and you're suffering from menopausal hot flashes or vaginal dryness. So a licorice formula, one of those traditional Chinese medicine formulas, could alleviate menopause. But DGL is used primarily for gastro problems. It's very anti-inflammatory. And one of the neat things about it is you can use it even if you're using an acid-blocking medication. You may say, well, I'm using the conventional medicine, so I don't need to use DGL. It's an either-or thing. No. Acid-blocking medications, they do one thing. They get rid of the acid, allowing the tissue to heal. Sometimes you need that. Although long-term, there's a lot of bad side effects. But DGL actually has an anti-inflammatory effect and a soothing effect and can be very helpful for the gastric mucosa and for the esophagus if you have esophageal problems. But so you're concerned about the estrogenic effects. And what else?
Thyroid.
And the thyroid. Yeah, I'm not even entirely sure that there's a thyroid suppressive effect of lots and lots of pure licorice. There probably is, because if it builds up cortisol, high levels of cortisol can interfere with thyroid function. So there's a possibility that, you know, in someone who's got a weak thyroid, that it could interfere with that. So, but DGL should not do that. DGL should not have that effect. So check it out. Deglycerizinated licorice. Great for GERD and for ulcers. Helps to heal. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. Ohiro's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. Ohiro's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. Ohiro's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. Ohiro difference.
Dr. Ohiro's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. We will take some of your calls in just a moment, but before we do that, this week at drhoffman.com, a feature article is on GMO non-browning apples, and you can check it out. It was the lead article in our newsletter, so you can subscribe at drhoffman.com. Do we need this? Is this really a pressing problem? The problem of apples, if you slice them and you leave them around for too long, they brown. Well, first of all, it's easy to avoid that because you actually apply a little bit of lemon juice
or you can use a solution of ascorbic acid, which is cheap vitamin C powder, and you can dilute it in water and just paint it on your apples if you want to leave your apples out and you don't want to be embarrassed because by the time the company comes, your apples are a little brown. It's not a biggie. It's no biggie. And in fact, I point out in the article, there's something called Fruit Fresh, which is a natural product made by canning company Ball. I believe it's got ascorbic acid and citric acid in it, citric acid from lemon juice. The internet abounds with tips on how you can prevent your apples from browning. And so what if they brown, my apples go a little brown, you know, I just slice them up and I boil them for a while, and then you can put them through a blender of Foley food mill. Voila, applesauce. Not a big problem. So, you know, look, they one puts this stuff on the market. Canadian company has developed it. Okanagan, they're called. They just garnered approval for the GMO Arctic apple, which resists browning. And, you know, that's capitalism. They, you know, put the product on the market, and I think the public will reject it en masse. The problem is they want to conceal from us that products are GMO. They have resisted GMO labeling laws. So far, there have been initiatives in several states, but the agribusiness and biotech industries have conspired to put mega dollars into campaigns to fool consumers into believing that labeling would drive costs up unacceptably and create a big hassle. So by very narrow margins, these initiatives have been defeated. That is, except in Vermont. In Vermont, a GMO labeling initiative passed, but then it's been challenged by the food companies. And it may actually get overturned in the courts. There's actually federal legislation to prevent labeling of GMO foods. Can you imagine that? It's called the Dark Act. And it will deprive consumers of the right to make informed choices. So, yeah, we're talking free market capitalism. Hey, knock yourself out. You want to develop a non-browning apple or fluorescent glow-in-the-dark blueberries, oregano-infused tomatoes. Fine. Great. Put it on the market. Label it as GMO. And let free market principles sort it out. That's capitalism, right? But this is like not free market, because you don't have the ability to choose. And who knows what these, you know, if an apple doesn't brown, think of what it might do in your gastrointestinal tract. Things are supposed to be broken down by your digestive enzymes and by the microorganisms in your gastrointestinal tract, the so-called microbiome. And who knows what incalculable effects this might have on humans. This, frankly, hasn't been field tested on humans. The approval was simply based on its safety to the environment, that it's not likely to damage other agricultural products. So they said, okay. But they said, this is just like, hey, it's an apple. It's an apple. So we know apples are safe for humans to eat. So what, GMO apples? They're, yeah, why not? It's an apple. Well, yeah, but it's fundamentally altered in such a way that in our billions of years of exquisite evolution, no such apple has existed on planet Earth. So who knows what in the heck havoc this can unleash on our human, delicate human physiology. And yet they have just garnered approval for it. This is nuts. So check out the article at drhoffman.com. I think you'll find my perspective interesting. There are lots of useful resources there, including a GMO apples fact sheet. A link to a website where they really break it down for you. 888-302-3684. Let's talk to Joe, who's in Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania. Is there really such a place, Joe?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Yes, there is. I think years ago it used to be like Mayberry, but now it's the rest of New York and the rest of New Jersey has moved over here.
Right. Do you have Sheriff Andy there patrolling the streets?
Yeah, I think he's in the slammer these days.
Okay. But,
anyway, thanks a million to you, to Layla, to your staff. I've listened to you for decades, and we're all very grateful.
Thank you.
I have a question about double vision, diplopia. I've had it 3 times in the last 3 years and all kinds of workups, and thankfully they've ruled out all kinds of horrific things.
Yeah, but, I mean, it could be a harbinger, God, you know, MS, you know, any kind of, you know, brain tumor, all these horrible things. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Myasthenia gravis and so forth.
Yeah.
But they've looked at all that, brain scans and so forth. And I'm just wondering if there's, I'm doing some nutritional things, but I'm wondering about nutritional or behavioral things, either for treatment or prevention.
This is a tough one, because what they're suggesting is that this is not so much in the brain, it's in your optic nerves. The optic nerves are sort of
weak, or the muscles
are not functioning well. Yeah, that's weird. I mean, obviously there's things to support muscle function. Look, I mean, there are a couple of ways to deal with weird problems. You know, one is to find out if there is some double-blind placebo-controlled study that suggests that a nutrient of one kind or another is going to help diplopia. Now, okay, we could do that for hypertension, because there's probably thousands and thousands of studies looking at the effects of nutrients on hypertension, magnesium and fish oil and vitamin D and, you know, on and on and on, because that's a common condition. Diplopia, unfortunately, is an uncommon condition. It's not unheard of, but it's rare. And there probably are no studies that say that this or that or the other thing. So we can't rely on that. The other thing we do, and this is something that I do in my practice, say, well, hey, you know, it's not in the books, I can't look it up, but let's look at this patient individually, see what's, you know, are there any peculiarities with this patient? Does the patient have some genetic anomaly that makes them require more folic acid or B6 or B12? Or, you know, do they have a vitamin D receptor anomaly where they need mega amounts of vitamin D to make the vitamin D work in their system? Do they have some sort of food intolerance? Is it possible they have an imbalance of essential fatty acids? Do they have hidden celiac disease, which is causing bizarre neurological side effects? These are some of the things that we might reach for. But, you know, quite honestly, there may be no answer in the field of nutrition that can have an impact on this. Sometimes things are outside the realm of nutrition. I mean, a lot of people believe implicitly in the power of nutrition to heal virtually anything, and I'm certainly a partisan of that, but some conditions, they are unrelated to nutrition, and you'd be on the best possible diet, take a million supplements, and, you know, still, it's going to, you know, still bedevil you. So, you know, that's my best shot at answering this question, because it's an unusual condition. And, you know, certainly you could try things like acupuncture, you could try certain eye exercises, you know, some kind of ocular rehab that somebody might offer to strengthen the eye muscles, there are various programs for that. That might make more sense than pursuing, a vitamin or nutritional approach. Although I'm not ruling out the possibility that some hidden defect in your metabolism might dictate requirement for specific nutrients. That might be possible. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Obviously, a fan of our podcast at drhoffman.com. There's lots of content in addition to this weekend radio program at drhoffman.com. Check it out. All right. We'll go to a break. And when we return, more of your phone calls, 888-302-3684. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here with a weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick, yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with four key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We'll get to your phone calls just in a moment, but a very important story about vitamin D. You know, a lot of reasons to take vitamin D, and you know, we've been enumerating them over the years. Cardiovascular prevention, prevention from autoimmune disease, obviously osteoporosis, but it goes way beyond that. Mood effects of vitamin D, sun exposure. Increasing your vitamin D levels makes you resist seasonal affective disorder. We'll talk about that in our newsletter next week. But this is a remarkable study. Low vitamin D levels in stroke survivors, a bad sign, study finds. Well, what's that about? Okay, this is not so much about vitamin D's ability to protect against stroke. Clearly, there may be some stroke preventive effects of vitamin D. This is about if you are so unfortunate as to have a stroke. Stroke recovery varies. To some extent or another, people who have strokes, if they survive their strokes, tend to recover part or, in some cases, all of their function. With severe strokes, there's a residual. There may be hemiplegia, which is weakness on one side. Or there may be speech deficits and so on, depending on where the stroke occurs and what part of your brain. Low vitamin D levels are linked to an increased risk of suffering a severe stroke and poor health in stroke survivors. People with low blood levels of vitamin D had about 2 times larger areas of stroke-related dead brain tissue than those with normal vitamin D levels. The researchers found that for each 10-point reduction in vitamin D level, the odds of a healthy recovery in the 3 months after stroke fell by about a half. So 10 points by about a half, 20 points by three quarters, another 10 points, 7/8. Okay, so very dramatic, right? Although the study found an association with low vitamin D levels and poor stroke outcomes, they say it wasn't designed to show whether or not vitamin D levels actually caused any of these problems. So the study showed a correlation, not necessarily a causation. And, you know, maybe that sick individuals have low vitamin D levels in general, just a, you know, coinkydink. But nonetheless, they say the results do provide the impetus for further rigorous investigation into the association of vitamin D status and stroke severity. If we can replicate these findings, the next step may be to test whether supplementation can protect patients at high risk for stroke. And I say, okay, why wait? Let's supplement. You know, this very, you know, at the end of articles like this, it's always this caveat, well, we're not sure, you know, this may be just a coincidence. We need to replicate the study, and then we need to do rigorous trials to see if using the actual supplements. But I'm saying, hey, let's act on this because stroke is a catastrophic event. And what's the harm in taking some additional vitamin D and making sure vitamin D levels are in normal or in high normal range? I shoot for levels above 40, 50, 60, 70. That's good as far as vitamin D. It's very important to monitor your levels. All right, let's get to callers. Let's talk to Marianne from Wantagh, New York. How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm calling because I've had two surgeries in the past year for prolapsed bladder. Both have been
a dropped bladder. Yeah.
Yep. Both have been rather unsuccessful.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. You know, because they always say, "Well, we'll just fix it right up for you. You know, we'll just, we'll lift it, we'll tie it, we'll put in a mesh." You know, it's like it's all. You know, it all sounds so like it's like just building a building or something or designing a car, but it doesn't work sometimes with human tissue.
It doesn't work, and I'm 72, and one of the things that the doctor has prescribed is estrogen cream vaginally. He removed the uterus and the cervix, but left the ovaries. He said they were encased in scar tissue.
Okay.
I'm just concerned.
Okay, so here's the deal. You know, actually, this is something that I've encountered a couple of times over the past few weeks in my office. Women who have dropped bladders, which cause urinary frequency, and you know, it's kind of it gets in the way, and it can interfere with intercourse. You know, a lot of problems associated with dropped bladders, but primarily tendency towards urinary frequency and urinary infections. Too. Did you have a lot of bladder infections as a result of this?
No.
Just frequency, right?
Not even that.
It leakage, was, incontinence, you know, all that stuff going on.
There. It was, you know, okay. You're just very aware of it.
Okay. And yeah, and discomfort. Okay. So anyway, so as a prelude to surgery, I've suggested to patients that they use estrogen. And, you know, you got to be careful with the use of estrogen. But one of the main reasons for uterine prolapse is that when you get past menopause and the tissue is no longer nourished with estrogen, it becomes drier, resulting in sexual problems, and also becomes weaker, and it tends to allow that to drop. You'll have prolapse. And so estrogen can help to tone the uterus. It's actually a pretty good thing to try. And the other problem that women who have prolapses have is they often have bleeding because the tissue, you know, prolapses, it dries and it gets, you know, it just becomes very friable or likely to bleed. So the estrogen could be helpful for you. I would say, okay, you have your ovaries there and maybe there's some slight risk, but you can be monitored for risk. You know, there might be some effect on the breasts as well because some of the estrogen is absorbed, but then again, very slight risk. I would say give it a shot because, hey, you've already tried the darn surgeries and it hasn't worked for you. So I would say, you know, that definitely should be part of your program. I'm not sure there's a vitamin or nutritional support program for this. Some women who have these types of problems can get away with various types of Kegel exercises, things to strengthen the pelvic floor. There's actually biofeedback. You can even use an app on your iPhone to test the strength of your Kegel exercises. It's amazing the technology that's available now. But there's a branch of physical therapy, which is to strengthen the pelvic floor muscles using things that you insert in the vagina and you actually press down and it gives you the feedback as to whether your muscles are getting stronger and so on. And or even using graded weights that you hold inside for you know, it's like doing it. Look, it's a muscle. It's like doing, you know, pull-ups, sit-ups, or push-ups. You strengthen the muscle, and you can improve the tone. But it sounds like you're past the point where that could be beneficial. Try the estrogen. That might be worthwhile. Look, it's for some people it may sound icky to talk about this. It's a very common problem and much ignored. And maybe we should start with, the pelvic floor exercises and the estrogen before we start doing the slicing and dicing with the surgery that, in this lady's case, has not been successful. All right, let's talk now to Marilyn. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You might be able to hear I have a very...
You sound a little nasal there.
Yeah, there you go. So the question is, I've tried Sinusalis by Boron. I'm just wondering if there's anything I can
try the clear nasal spray, XLEAR?
No, I heard it as I was waiting on hold.
Yeah, give it a shot because did you have a cold and then now you can't get rid of the thick mucus?
I just started a couple of days ago with a sore throat and then went to my nose. So,
okay, you know, well, look, I mean, you're going to have that to some extent. That's the nature of a respiratory infection or a cold. You're going to have excess mucus. But try the clear nasal spray. The big, I mean, you're going to have, what you want to do is you want to keep it
clear, you want to keep it flowing. You don't want to get to, you know, to become like cement in your nasal passages and create a lot of pressure and ultimately become infected, you know, yellowish, greenish, and then you've got chronic sinusitis, and it's a big mess. But what clear does is it actually prevents the formation of biofilms. The biofilms keep the bacteria, sometimes fungus, in your nasal passages from being treatable with your own immune response. Your immune response wants to go after those things, but when they're in biofilms, they're sort of encased and protected, and the clear thins the mucus, breaks up and prevents the biofilms, and can be very helpful for chronic sinusitis, or in your case, an acute sinus bout with a cold.
Aspirin, doctor.
Yeah, so that's something that you can try.
How does it compare to Afrin, Dr.
Hoffman? Oh, Afrin's terrible to use. Do not use Afrin because you'll get short-term benefit, but you'll get – Afrin can create real dependency, and you'll get rebound constriction of your nasal passages. It's called rhinitis medicamentosa, which is it's like a disease that you create. It's an iatrogenic disease caused by the medication itself. Clear is spelled X-L-E-A-R, and we talk about it on this program. One of our good sponsors, you can find it at xlear.com. Great product for dealing with nasal problems. All right, thanks very much for joining us. Remember, this weekend program is just the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. You can find more at drhoffman.com. Please check it out. Lots of great material there. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Have a great weekend.